What does it mean, love your neighbor as yourself? The word, love, is misleading in that commandment. Humanity, until they reach the next evolutionary stage, human being, is incapable for love, or caring, or compassion. But even at this stage, a human can tell if they want what they want only for themselves, or want for everyone. Wallace D. Wattles talks about the man in Toledo, Ohio. Beware of the competitive mind. No better statement of the principle of creative action can be formulated than the favorite declaration of the late unquote, golden rule unquote, Jones of Toledo, what I want for myself, I want for everybody. Wanting something for the other doesn't mean giving it to them. Doesn't mean giving up your own so they can have it. I bet you thought that. Consciousness on the level of humanity where we are thinks that that is what is required of us, and of course we say no to that. But this interpretation comes from the paradigm humanity lives in, the zero-sum game paradigm, where it is either you or the other. Our consciousness cannot see that the world, that reality isn't that way. The world is abundant and there is enough for everyone. The other person having it doesn't mean you can't have it. Whether the thing is a thing, or something like being right, respect, talent, smarts, love, whatever. In Judaism it was expressed by the elder, Hillel 2400 odd years ago. If I am not for me, who is for me? If I am only for myself, who am I? And if not now, when? Being all for yourself, wanting only for yourself is the base of all the wars, all the infighting, class war, social justice warriors, and the entire Democratic, Republican Party, Libertarian Party, the oligarch, etc. And, if you wanted to be honest, you'd see that that is where you are. It is the culture you are indoctrinated in, unless your family's culture is different, like mine was. The main reason my teaching is falling on deaf ears is that you live on the competitive plane and I speak on the creative plane. What is the competitive plane? Again, quoting from Wallace D. Wattles. Let me here give you another word of caution in regard to motives. Beware of the insidious temptation to seek for power over other men. Nothing is so pleasant to the unformed or partially developed mind as the exercise of power or dominion over others. The desire to rule for selfish gratification has been the curse of the world. For countless ages kings and lords have drenched the earth with blood in their battles to extend their dominions, this not to seek more life for all, but to get more power for themselves. Today, the main motive in the business and industrial world is the same. Men marshal their armies of dollars, and lay waste the lives and hearts of millions in the same mad scramble for power over others. Commercial kings, like political kings, are inspired by the lust for power. Jesus saw in this desire for mastery the moving impulse of that evil world he sought to overthrow. Read the 23rd chapter of Matthew, and see how he pictures the lust of the Pharisees to be called unquote, master comma unquote, to sit in the high places, to domineer over others, and to lay burdens on the backs of the less fortunate, and note how he compares this lust for dominion with the brotherly seeking for the common good to which he calls his disciples. Look out for the temptation to seek for authority, to become a master, to be considered as one who is above the common herd, to impress others by lavish display, and so on. The mind that seeks for mastery over others is the competitive mind, and the competitive mind is not the creative one. In order to master your environment and your destiny, it is not at all necessary that you should rule over your fellow men, and indeed, when you fall into the world's struggle for the high places, you begin to be conquered by fate and environment, and your getting rich becomes a matter of chance and speculation. Beware of the competitive mind. No better statement of the principle of creative action can be formulated than the favorite declaration of the late unquote, golden rule unquote, Jones of Toledo, unquote, what I want for myself, I want for everybody. Unquote. What he is teaching in is the science of getting rich is the vertical plane philosophy. But Wallace D. Wattles was unaware that people cannot get it. Not because they are not smart, they may be very smart. But the paradigm where you live is the or-ness paradigm, the binary, the either this or that. Robert Hartman called it the systemic judgment paradigm. And there, in that paradigm, wanting something for someone else means, you need to give it to them. But if you do, then you won't have it. If they eat a slice of your pizza, you'll have less to eat. So the paradigm is home to stinginess, rigidness, judgmentalness, greediness, wanting what belongs to another, lording over another, pushing the other down, climbing over others. And that is where you live. People come to me because apparently it is a horrible place to live, with horrible feelings to feel. I understand. I climbed out fully around the same time when I learned that I could connect to Source. From a Kabbalah teacher. His name was Daniel, and he wanted to become a business coach. So he practiced on me. He asked me to set up a purpose, a seed level for my company to be a desire to receive for the sake of sharing type purpose. It was an impossible concept to grasp unless and until I climbed out of the Orness paradigm. So how did I do it? I need to first tell you how I connected to Source. Another Kabbalah teacher told me that Source is like an electrical socket, it is always there and it is waiting for me to plug in. I didn't know that. Never considered connecting. I am not religious, so I didn't think there was anything to connect to. But if it is there waiting for me to connect, then I am going to plug in. And I did. Right then and there. I didn't think it was difficult. I didn't think anything at all. And I just plugged in. And I have been plugged in ever since. Obviously, I wasn't living in the same paradigm as everyone else. Because the students I have still claim, they cannot connect. They don't feel anything different. Which means to me, they expect something to happen. I did not. I just connected. And I experienced being at home for the first time. I never felt at home with my family, or anywhere else, and still don't. But I've felt at home ever since that day, sometime back in 2005, I think. I still had to a long way to learn to accept myself. I think the second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, is difficult for others, because they don't love themselves. They are concerned for themselves, but love? What is love anyway? Just like with connecting, you expect fireworks, but loving is just loving. Connecting is just connecting. Do you get goosebumps when you plug in your vacuum cleaner? Your fan? No. They are electrical, so if you want to use them, you need to plug them in. But it is the same for a human, we are really energetic on the level of consciousness. And unplugged electric or energetic beings run out of juice. Unplugged people start being overly concerned about themselves, become stingy and withholding. Should you connect so that you can get out of the ditch, the two-dimensional paradigm that is a lot like a ditch? The ditch has only two dimensions, right and wrong. You or me. Them or us. It is combative, justifying, explaining, arguing. Source doesn't take sides. Source is the ultimate endless space. The human body has several switches. I have found the switch for the will, the switch for intention, and the switch to connect to Source. There is one more, that I have never taught, and it is to turn ownership on. Ownership is also called responsibility. Source says, I have it on. And that may be my secret weapon, and the secret to the 1000. The people who live in the human being paradigm. Source says, I need to teach you to turn it on so you can have desire to receive for the sake of sharing, like the dude in Toledo. Like the commandment asks you to be. Can you learn it? Source says yes. Will you learn it? Some will. What's missing for the ones that won't? Generosity. They cannot see that generosity gives more to the giver than to the receiver. So they withhold themselves. And when it comes to being a receiver, they refuse to receive. They pick and choose, but mostly they deflect. Do not receive. Teaching people like that is like throwing spaghetti on the wall. It would be more straightforward to throw the spaghetti in the garbage. Less cleanup. People who refuse to receive don't want me to win. They don't want me to feel good about giving. They prefer to never learning what I teach. Ultimately, they prefer to refuse giving me the satisfaction. To allow me to have the joy of the giver. And that is that. What can turn someone stingy like that around? If they wholeheartedly accepted that even though I win more or win at all, it is still worth it for them to receive. Inside the zero-sum game, the chances for that are between 0 and 1%. I have had many calls to train the intention switch. But, unfortunately, owning that you have an intention is hard for people who live like a victim. Living like a victim of life, the victim of others, is how 8 billion people live on the planet. But why? Because it is comfortable. Comfortable? Yes. The hardest thing for anyone is to take responsibility, to take ownership over what belongs to them. It's not even cultural. If it were cultural, then some cultures would have all their members joyfully take responsibility. But when we look, there is no such culture on the planet. Almost any inspiring book or story talks about a person who took responsibility. A story like that is inspiring because it is so uncommon. It is responsibility that is at the crux of the matter. Responsibility is at the inflection point between Homo sapiens and human being. Homo sapiens, the victim human, looks at responsibility as a proof that you are guilty. That you are to blame. But it is a misunderstanding. That is why the sapiens in the name of a species is a misnomer. Understanding, seeing that if and when you declare that something belongs to you, you just access the power to change it, to modify it, to manage it, and thus turn from victim to owner. This power is natural at a higher evolution of the species, at the level of human being. The moment you turn on responsibility, you just walk through the seemingly solid wall between the paradigm of victim into the paradigm of boss, owner. It turns out that without the intention to have the power, another switch, people won't use the power. I have turned on the capacity for a bunch of people. I turned on the capacity of responsibility for 10 people every 3 days for more than 6 months. And yet none of them have taken advantage of it, even though it is not difficult, it is not complicated. They willfully and willingly remained in the paradigm of judgment, blame, the paradigm of the valley of the shadow of death. In tomorrow's From Judgment to Assessment workshop, I'll address two things: the misunderstanding of responsibility, intellectually, and will teach people present to turn on the switch. The fourth switch, that is the switch of responsibility. It is the switch many modalities that use meditation have been using without knowing that it's a switch. So participants don't actually know what they are doing, so they can't do it themselves. Once you get the hang of the switch and its operation, you'll be able to turn it on any time. The switch automatically deactivates after about 30 minutes, so you need the skill to turn it on again. It's an energetic switch. And it feels entirely physical at the same time. Like a light switch. You feel as it clicks. I will teach this in a class tomorrow. I will not make the recordings available. If you miss it, you'll be forever in 8 billion. Stuck in the valley of the shadow of death, the competitive plane of existence. Learn to use the switch to get out of Judgment City. If you have signed up to this class at the beginning of November or your vibration is under 200, I have refunded your purchase. Class size is limited.